All things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 23 through 34 to take our text for a communion message, I'd like to entitle this Remembering the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and reading from verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, after he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself. The word actually isn't damnation, but condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we read these words by the Apostle Paul, quoting the Lord Jesus as saying, when you take this bread and break it and drink of this wine, the bread represents the body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood, the wine represents his blood, which was spilt on our behalf. And knowing that had it not been for the spilling of that blood on Calvary, there would be no washing of water by the word. For the blood is what perfects us. We cannot perfect ourselves in this flesh. As Paul said, Who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. And so, Father, we're thankful, and we come in remembrance tonight of the great sacrifice that your Son, our eldest brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did on that cross that night. And yet it didn't have to happen. But he surrendered his will to your will. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. And of his own will and of his own volition, he walked to that cross with us in his mind. And as each stripe that he took, he bore us in his mind. And as he took each step toward Calvary, he bore us in his mind. And we're so thankful, Father, that tonight we want to have remembrance of him, he having remembered us. And so, Lord, we commit this service to thee. We pray, Father, that you would take it as a drink offering unto thee. Help us, Lord, to show the right respect, the right reverence. Help us to be examining ourselves even before we got here tonight, but especially, Lord, now that we're here. Now that we're being sitting under the washing of water by the word, may we examine ourselves and see whether we even be in the race. And help us, Father, Help us because we know that you who began the work in us shall perform it. Help us to get out of the way, Father, that you might make us ready for the great translation that is to come. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, communion many times has been the great dispute down through the ages between Protestants and Catholics. And they say that the Catholic takes this communion and they take it in hopes that they have did something to merit some good and that their sins will be forgiven them in doing it. The Protestant, he takes it in remembrance that Christ has already forgiven him, and they take it in rejoicing that they've already been forgiven. Paul goes on to say in here that how to come to the Lord's table, if there is anything wrong, make it right before we get there. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now we are very, very much in prayer then when we come to this communion table. But I've wondered many times, if that word that we use is just right, we say the word communion. Now the word commune means to talk to, see? To commune with. So when we speak of communion, it's not so that we come and just follow through on some form, some tradition, some gathering together, a breaking of bread, drinking of some wine. But the word communion actually means to commune together, to talk heart to heart, one with one. And I wonder if we really, when we meet together like this in heavenly places, if that isn't communion. That we're communing with God and we're talking to Him. And then if we just sit still and let Him answer back, and that's our biggest problem. We don't sit still long enough to get an answer. Many things, and one of the horrible things that I do, and I try to do all the talking, we all try to do that, and we just don't sit still long enough to hear what He has to say, to hear Him answer back. We do that so many times in prayer. And I think if we would get off of our heart and what's in it and express ourselves to the Lord Jesus and then just kneel and just be still a while and just see what He would say back to us, see? And sometimes I did that, and my whole opinion's changed. You see, we need to go to Him sometimes. Ask Him some things. Now, Lord, these people really, they got something, and I believe they want me over there, and I just start praying, and first thing you know, I'm just satisfied that the Lord's will be done. How many times you get in a jam? You find yourself in a little fix. It, you don't know what the right answer is. Or maybe you're set yourself up. You know, you gave in too easy to something and you just don't know how to get out of it. You say, Lord, you know, I made a mistake here. I just don't know how to get out of it. So, Lord, would you talk to that person so I can get out of it? And 9 times out of 10, the Lord does that. Telephone rings, person calls, says, hey, you know, that thing we talked about, I just don't think it's going to be possible. You see, instead of getting ourselves emotionally upset, emotionally in a stew, if we would just sit back and relax and realize that God has everything under control. So we should pray and then listen. And then God will change the situation if it needs changing. Just remember one thing. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose. So just commune with the Lord. What glorious fellowship just to sit down and talk a while and commune with Him and wait for Him to talk back. And to think about a great person that you're talking to. He's not only your Father, but He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Creator Himself, communing with Him who put your life of this, like Brother Branham says, a volcanic ash that you're living in. And then someday you'll have to leave there. And then it's in the hands where it goes on from there. It's in His hands. And you have the privilege now to make your choice which way that your soul leaves, which way it's going to go. And what a wonderful thing to commune with Him upon the basis of His promise. And then hear Him commune back to you and say, it's all well and done. Enter thee into the joy of the Lord. You know, we don't have to look at any creed. We don't have to look to any dogmas. Only thing we have to do is just know that He witnesses back His Word, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God. Then the burden rolls away. I thought of coming to this table that we'd call it tonight. Now that I've got it expressed, and it's just as much communion here as it would be in taking what we call the Lord's Supper, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 2. Because we know in verse 38, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the 120 people came down from the upper room, filled with the Holy Spirit. Many things began to take place. But right after that, Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." That's number one. "And fellowship. And in breaking of bread," that's communion, "and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Look at the atmosphere that was created because the doctrine was right. The fellowship was around that doctrine. The breaking of bread, the communion, the making sure the attitudes, the inventory of the attitude, and then the constant vigilance of prayer. And it created such an atmosphere that it says fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. "And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." You know, from the message Oneness, Brother Ram said, "I was here last Sunday night, and I spoke on the subject of communion before the communion service. And communion is not taking bread. Commune means to talk to. Commune means to talk back or to talk with someone." So notice that Brother Brown tells us that communion is not just for some form of worship, of taking bread. It actually means we're having to communicate, or a time of communion. Now, I believe that he was not saying that in vain. So we see that oneness has to do something with communion. And notice he says commune means to. So it is not a one-sided effort, but he said to commune back or to talk to someone. Which means that there's a two-way relationship there, but it's focused upon one thought. Remember, two fellows in one ship, they got one thing in common, even those two fellows. Communion is no different. When you actually have communion with one another, talking, you're not talking about one thing and I'm talking about another, we're talking about the same. You see, our hearts are in one accord. That's what communion is. That's what fellowship is. That's what oneness is. How could you hold a conversation with someone who is thinking different thoughts? When you commune or have a real communion with someone, you must both be in the same wavelength, or shall we say the same mindset, in order for you to have communion together. Now, this is the reason why many parents cannot talk to their children. They tell the children something and wonder why the child either does not listen, does not seem to hear, or just outright obeys. Now, modern psychology understands this, so they tell the parent to get down to the child's level and then communicate. But when you lower yourself to their level of thinking, you're only shifting the growth or stifling the growth of the child. But you're putting your stamp of approval on where they are mentally at that time, and you don't want to do that. You want your child to come up to your understanding. You're not getting down to your child's values, you're teaching your child your values. That's what God's doxa is all about. Coming into His opinion, His values, His judgments. Now, what needs to be done first when talking to your children is that you must first get their attention, which might be a difficult task, but you must do this. Get them aside when it's quiet, where they'll not be distracted. Then create an atmosphere where you let them know that you want to talk to them about something that is very important and you want them to listen. You've got to get them thinking in the same mind or the same mindset, or you won't have communication. You won't have communion. You only have a shouting match. Then once you've been able to get their attention, you can begin to tell them what things you felt to communicate to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 9 to 10, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice here that we are called to a fellowship. But it tells us in order to have this fellowship, we must have the same mindset and we must speak the same things. We must have the same goals. If the husband has certain goals and the wife has completely different goals, you're not going to have fellowship. You're going to have a shouting match. You've got to get together on what are your goals. What are your priorities? And then stick with them. Now, I firmly believe the reason that we're missing this oneness with God and the divine fellowship with Him and with each other and even with our own children is that we are so busy and caught up into our daily routines that we do not take the time to create the right atmosphere for oneness in our homes or even in church services. I've been doing a lot of work in the last few days doing transferring Brother Vail's sermons up to the internet. I was listening to one in particular, 1969, 1970 time frame. It was interesting to see how Brother Vail said, you know, I think the problem that we have here today is, he said, I don't believe we're going to see much time left. He said, I don't think that I'll ever collect my retirement. He said that, things are coming to an end. And he said, and we need to have our priorities right. People are striving too much to be somebody in this world and not enough to get themselves ready for going home. Now, he might have been off a few years in his understanding when we're going home, but we've all been looking. Even Brother Brandon was looking to going home in his day, any time. But whether we go home this spring or you get killed in an accident and you go home immediately or it's not another 5-10 years, if your focus is right. And Paul said to die is Christ, but to die is gain, but to live is Christ. So let's just look at this atmosphere then. Creating the right atmosphere, living in the right atmosphere, talking in the right atmosphere, having the same thoughts, having the same words. First, let's look at our home. Look at our children. When we go on vacation together, we prepare in advance for our trip by doing activities that will prepare us for the journey. We prepare in advance for our trip by doing those things which are necessary. The husband takes care of the car. The wife puts sandwiches together, whatever that you need for the trip. The children bring whatever their activities are going to need while they're there. The things for traveling, maybe those things. But we all work together, doing our own role, doing our own tasks for one purpose, and that's to have a good, enjoyable time on that trip. We decide what we want to wear as far as clothing. We plan what we want to see, where we want to go. And we come to some sort of agreement or mindset as to what we want to get out of that vacation. Maybe one wants to fish, another wants to relax, another wants to boat, another just wants to sit around and read. So we determine a place where we can go and that each of us can be fulfilled in our desire. Is that right? That's what it's supposed to be done? Well, then we have preparation. Then we decide what we'll need to wear as clothing, how long we'll be gone, how much we can budget, etc. What we're doing is creating an atmosphere of expectation that builds up an excitement right up to the trip or the time of the trip. Well, then shouldn't our journey to the millennium be the same way? Do we talk about our journey And are we clothing ourselves in the Word of God? Are we clothing our children in the Word of God? Are we preparing their mind for going home? Are we preparing their minds for the blast? Which one are we preparing for? When we pack our clothes for a trip, we say, bring a jacket, it may be cold where we're going. But when we talk about God's kingdom that we're entering into, do we say, be dressed in righteousness? Make sure when you go out the door, you look in the mirror and you're dressed as a son or daughter of God ought to be dressed? Or do we make excuses for our kids and say, well, they're just young and it doesn't really matter? If I took my daughter somewhere where it's very cold, I would make sure in the natural that she's properly dressed so she won't get sick, won't die of pneumonia. Then what about our eternal abode? If my daughter is not properly dressed to meet the weather conditions, it's my fault if she gets sick. And if my daughter is not properly dressed to meet God's condition and she gets spiritually sick, I'm also to blame. Brother Rand said it's not a juvenile delinquency, but parent delinquency. We pray that our kids will make it, but when it comes right down to it, we can't be concerned because we're not applying the token. To apply paint, you've got to take it out of the can and put it on the wall. To apply the Word of God, you've got to take it out of the book and place it into your children's hearts. Now you may think it'll be a big fight, but if you've had a vision and could see the child dying of AIDS or dying of some venereal disease down the road, you do everything in your power to save that child from making that fateful mistake. Whether you want to face up to reality or not, God is not a doting old grandfather. He does not have grandchildren. He has children. And if your kids are not in the same mindset of God, the same mindset that you must come into, they're not going to receive a body change. Applying the token is not a crapshoot. To apply means you must place it or stick it or use it. And only those with the mind of God will go in the rapture. Too many of the people in this message are just playing at believing it, and the reality of the day and hour has not really sank in. I'm expecting one of these nights when we're here together for Brother Branham in the resurrection. Resurrection beyond. I'm expecting him to walk through these doors. I'm expecting, as hopefully as those of us that will make it, I'm believing all of us will, that we'll get that invitation to that tent, we'll get that invitation to that gathering together, because we've already been invited to a gathering, to this word, to the shout. And I'm believing that if we're focused right, if our hearts are right, we'll have that gathering together also under the, when we see the saints that have risen from the dead. Now the word oneness then, or communion, it speaks of a quality or state of being one, singleness or unity, a unity of mind, feeling or purpose. So we see that Brother Branham's message will have to deal with the mind or mindset as it did in the shout. It was actually God coming down, God making him, William Branham, one with him. Had to little tweak him a little bit along the way. I think he's had to tweak us a little bit along the way as well. But see, God creating the right atmosphere so that we would have that oneness with him. And that's communion. So if we're going to some place very important, like to visit the White House, well, we'd say, bring your best dress and make sure that your hair is combed properly. And we'd fuss with all the details and we'd get it all just right. And we'd make sure that we looked right because we're coming to meet the president. Well, what about coming to meet our Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we look our best? Or do we look like we just got out of the shower? Do we look our best? Or we say, well, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. The presentation is as important as the present. Now you guys, you think, well, you know what? I like the gadget. I'll just give her the gadget. Well, the girls know how to bring a presentation. They make the packaging right. they put all the colors together, the bows and all those things, John, that you and I, our two thumbs, four thumbs, whatever we got, couldn't do it. Like me, I make mine put all together. I've got to add a lot of tape, and then the presentation's not so good. Lots of tape. But the presentation is all important, because when the high priest went into the holiest of holies, into the presence of God, if he was just one step wrong, they packed him out. How do they know? He had little bells on the hem of his garment. And each step he took, there'd be a ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, and they knew that he was moving forward. But when that little ding-a-ling-a-ling stopped, they knew that they had to pull the rope that was around his waist. And yes, he did have a rope tied around his waist. And they pulled him out, a dead man. Now, as I said, if we were to get an invitation to the governor's ball or to meet with the president, I'm sure you'd go out, you'd buy yourself a jacket, tie to match, you'd look your best, you'd groom yourself as best you could, and you'd come presenting yourself to him. Then what about our Savior tonight? Brother Branham was very, very concerned about that. He liked the men to wear shirts and ties, and if possible, suit jacket. Sometimes it got a little warm. I know when overseas we go, the brothers all wear jackets when it's cool. They take the jackets off when it's warm, but they still have a tie on. I think it's important to look our best, not to just come in jeans and casual, because we're meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So do we stand in the mirror with a mindset that says, today I'm going to meet the greatest king in all the universe? Or do we say, well, another boring sermon for an hour. I'll bring my comic books and read while I'm here. You know, what is our mindset when we come to church? Do we come right as the music begins to play? Do we stand outside and talk right up until service time? Are we preparing preparing our minds and our hearts to hear from heaven? Or are we just coming to fulfill a religious obligation? This is not only a communion message, but this is actually a New Year's Eve message. Although we moved our service up so that Michael and Helena could travel tomorrow to meet with their grandson. But I want you to think about this 2010. 2010, that's 2 and 1, that's 3. That's perfection. Can we give God our best in 2010? Can we come prepared? Can we come with a meeting of the mind? Can we come before the music plays? Can we come prayed up? You know, Brother Rand said we should be in our seats at least 10 to 15 minutes before the song service begins. The piano should be playing soft music that will set you in the right atmosphere for worship. We want to create the mindset where we are, where we're all in one accord, and that we can do our communion with Him. From God Hiding in Simplicity, Brother Ransom, when a minister walks through the congregation, walks into a congregation of people that are praying, and the anointing of the Spirit is there, you're bound to hear from heaven. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the spirit is grieved. And from Revelation, Book of Symbols, he said, your pastor, when he stands here on the platform ministering the word of God, he is God's angel to the church, messenger to the church. Therefore, a pastor should never leave the word, but stay straight with the word, because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find out if that ain't right. A pastor is a shepherd, and the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer over his church and flock to feed them what? What with? With the word of God. Amen. I want you to see how important then it is every time that we come together. We should be at our best because this is God's place. This is His home. That we're here to come together to worship Him here. So let us come reverently and let us come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now at this time I'm going to read from John chapter 13, as Brother Michael, Brother John would bring forth the elements. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper, laid aside His garment, took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him, therefore He saith, You are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet and had taken their garments and sat down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it was of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that we should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, immediately went out. And it was night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly, we reverently approach Thee tonight, knowing, Lord, You are the author and You are the finisher of our faith. We have heard these words spoken, Lord, concerning communion, concerning the severity of our coming together, calling upon Thee, and waiting and listening to what You would have to tell us. We know, Father, that we're not rocks that cannot hear, but simply we are children, Your children. And so we ask that You would speak frank to us, Lord. Speak plainly, O God, in our hearts, that we might know what You would have for us to do. And then, Father, help us in the doing thereof. And now, Lord, we just commit the breaking of these elements. We ask that You would bless him. In the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.